Great I Am. If you don't believe it, wait till you get in the middle of a storm or a trial and call on Him and see if He don't answer you or help you. He is everything you need. If you don't believe it, wait till you need Him so bad that you'll cry out to God. And God will get you to a place that you'll call out to God, and then you'll recognize and realize that you need Him, and He is all that you need. He deserves the glory. And we are to give Him glory. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, the preacher said, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity, and vexation of the spirit." He said, in my own way to explain what the writer of Ecclesiastes says, he searched the world over. He did everything, listen to me, he did everything that the world offered him. He tried everything. He went everywhere. He had the money and the funds. And if some of you had the money, you'd still be doing things. Yeah. He tried everything. The Bible says he tried everything, went to every place, can pass land and sea, and experienced it all. He drunk every different kind of drink. He smoked and did every kind of different thing. He tried every kind of different pleasure. He had every kind of different pleasure a man could have. He had every fancy car, every fancy boat, every fancy house. He had it all. You said it doesn't say all that. It says he done everything. And he tried it all. And you know what his conclusion? It's all vanity. He said the whole duty of man. He said he found and realized what the whole duty of man is. Some of you are waiting until you're 70 before you realize this. You ain't got to try everything. You ain't got to do everything. You ain't got to experience everything. Just take the reader of the book of Ecclesiastes and believe him. And he said, the whole duty of man is to please God and to keep his commandments. Just live for God. Just please the Lord. That's what it's all about. Let's go to Matthew chapter number 27 this morning. Matthew chapter number 27, if you would, with me. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 27. Matthew 27 and verse number 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Now they took Jesus, and who was the king? How many of y'all believe that Jesus was the king? Some of y'all do. I need a show of hands. How many of y'all believe that Jesus was the king? How many of y'all believe that Jesus is the king? There's a difference in believing that he was and believing that he is. I mean, he's not a has-been God. He's a right-now God. He's a ready God. And he is. He is, and He is, and He always will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They took Jesus Christ to this trial, and they mocked Him. They put a crown of thorns on His head. First thing they did, they stripped Him of His robe, His own clothes. They stripped Him and made Him naked in the sight of all the people around. And they took Jesus Christ and they put a scarlet robe on Him, which represented royalty. They put a crown of thorns on His head, which would represent the king and all His prestige and even different jewels in the crown. On a real crown could represent the wealth of the king. And they put the crown of thorns on Jesus' head and a reed in His right hand. And they bowed the knee before Him and mocked Him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spat upon Him. And they took a reed and smote Him on the head. That's what drove the thorns into the skull of Jesus Christ. And after that, they mocked Him and they took the robe off Him and put His own raiment on Him and led Him away to crucify Him. and led him away to crucify him. And led him away to crucify him. I want to preach a message this morning called The Walk of Grace to Calvary. The Walk of Grace. And they led him away to crucify him. Jesus Christ did not deserve one thing that they did to him. He did not earn or merit any chastisement or any punishment. Can I say to you this morning that Jesus Christ was not just a man. He was God, man. The Bible says that Jesus was manifested in the flesh. He was God come in the flesh. Amen. But he was in the flesh. And he was in his fleshly, and he was to represent humanity. And Jesus was a man. And he was a human in his earthly body. He had a vessel just like you and I have. He had skin and eyes and ears and everything just like you and I have. Even though he was God's son, he was on this earth in humanity. Jesus Christ was. And the Bible says, and you and I know by the scriptures, that there wasn't anything that Jesus did to be worthy of crucifixion. But I want you to look in this verse. It says, and they led him away to crucify him. They led him away. Have you ever been falsely accused? Have you ever been done something and you was innocent and you were found guilty? I want to talk about that this morning. The walk of grace to Calvary. Jesus Christ walked the walk of grace up to Calvary. In the book of Luke is the only mention of the word Calvary, which is the place of a skull. Other writers call it Golgotha because it looked like a skull. Or maybe it was a place where they beheaded all those that were in chastisement in that day. It was all done on that place. It was a hill of martyrism. It was a hill of chastisement. It was a hill of slaughter and slander. It was a place designed and set apart for the correction of people that were worthy of correction. Now this walk of grace, my friend, was not an easy task. Jesus Christ did it in his humanity. But he was, thank God that he did. Amen. Amen. And you know what? It shows us what we can accomplish in our flesh through the power of God. It shows us what you can do through the power of God in your flesh. There is no excuse for a Christian not to serve God, not to live for God, not to go all the way for God, not to get in, not to live for God. Hey, not to separate yourselves from the world. You say, I can't take it on my own. I can't handle it on my own. You can through the power of God. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 26, in verse number 44, or 47, the first thing that happened to Jesus Christ is he was falsely accused. Falsely accused. Jesus did not deserve to be accused. He never did one thing wrong for 33 years of his life. For 33 years, he walked in perfection. He astonished people by his character, by his conduct. In 3.5 years of his life, he began to be an earthly trial. From the moment he began his earthly ministry, he began to be on trial, Brother Andy. From that moment on, and guess what? For 3.5 years, they tried to find him, find a fault with him. They tried to find him doing something wrong. They accused him time after time. One time they took Jesus and pushed him out with a crowd, pushed him out to the edge of a cliff and was going to push him off because of what they felt. And I believe it was conviction is what they felt, because they were in the wrong and he was in the right. And Jesus' time, his time wasn't come up yet. It wasn't time for him to be crucified. And he walked through the crowd in his deity. Amen. And they didn't know where he went. Amen. But Jesus was falsely accused. He was not only falsely accused, but he was illegally arrested. illegally arrested. Now there's a few things that I'm going to read this morning that they did to Jesus, that when they did these things to Jesus, they broke the law. When they arrested Jesus Christ falsely, they broke the law. They had nothing to hang on. They had nothing true, nothing fact. It was an innocent man. He was illegally arrested. You think about it. They broke the, I'm talking about the scholars of the day, the high priest of the day, who sent the soldiers to go get Jesus, broke the very law that Jesus wrote, God wrote. You find number three, that Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss. You'll find that in verse number 50 of Matthew chapter 26, that they laid hands on Jesus. For 3.5 years, Jesus' ministry, He laid hands on them. The hand of God touched the sins of humanity and the sickness of humanity and the sorrow of humanity. And one person after another person after another person, Jesus exhausted Himself and laid His hands of healing on them. And they came to Jesus and laid their guilty hands on the shoulders of Jesus and turned Him around and sent Him to go to the high priest. They laid the hands on Him. They brought Him before Caiaphas, the high priest, brought Him before to be trial. He went to the high priest. And can I say that's a little H with the high? He was high. He was way up there, but He wasn't as high as the high, big H, capital. Amen. Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 1 says that Jesus Christ was our great high priest. Friend, hey, He was brought before the little high priest, but the great high priest stood before the little high priest and was sentenced and tried like a murderer and a thief. The high priest found two witnesses. They searched and couldn't find no witnesses to accuse Jesus. Listen to me, church. Get in with me. Go to church with me. Concentrate and stay on tune this morning. I'm talking about, friend, they tried to find witnesses, but they could not find. They couldn't find one true witness. So they found two made up, makeshift, paid them to stand trial. And made two false witnesses that stood up and said that Jesus blasphemed because He said He was God. And He did say He was God. And Leviticus, it says that the blasphemy of man is when a man puts himself up as God and says he's God. And that was the law that God wrote, but they didn't know that the writer of the law was standing in front of them that morning, and He was the only one, hey, that could stand up and say, destroy this temple in 3 days, and I'll raise it back up again. And they was found in trial in a false witness. And then He was sentenced to pay the price. Sentenced to pay the price. Whatever the price, whatever Pilate decides, He was going to pay the price. Whether it be chastisement, whether it be just the cat of nine tails and let Him go, whether it be like Paul and Silas, whip them and put them in prison for a time and let Him go. The high priest said, hey, He's worthy to pay the price because He blasphemed God. He broke the law. And He didn't, because He was God. Woo! He was God. He was and is still God. At this time, Peter denied Jesus three times. Peter's God's right-hand man, the one that cut off Malchus's ear. Jesus stooped down in the Garden of Gethsemane and picked up this man's ear and put it right back on his head and healed him. Have you ever done that? Jesus can and did and still can. Peter denied Jesus three times and the cock crowed thrice. It says that Jesus was also, from this time, Jesus was brought to the trial before Pilate. Now Peter went to go sit with the servants to disguise himself. He didn't want to be identified as a follower and a disciple of Jesus Christ. Yeah, man. He did not want the identification as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Friends, some of you are like that here this morning. Yeah, but some of you are scared to identify when Jesus walked the path of grace for you and paid the price and the penalty of sin. Jesus was standing before Pilate, and at this time, I believe this is when Judas received 30 pieces of silver. Judas, they sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Sold him as a slave, like a slave on an auction block. Set him up and sold him and betrayed him and denied him. Judas was one of the 12, the Bible says. He says, one of the 12. Jesus takes, at this time, they released a prisoner because they wanted, the people wanted to, want Jesus to stand trial. And at this day of the Passover time, they would always release a prisoner. Don't have time to get into all this, but they released Barabbas. And they put Jesus in his place. Barabbas was a murderer. He was a no good murderer. He was a sinner. Barabbas was a sinner. Barabbas was a thieving, lying, conniving sinner just like you. Just like me. A rotten old sinner. You said, I'm not. Yes, you are. You know you are deep down in your heart. You want God to bring up your past and your actions this week? Every one of you would be found guilty. Hey, we're guilty. We're guilty. We're guilty. You are guilty. You are guilty. You are Barabbas. This is the picture, Miss Libby, of the innocent taking the place of the guilty. The innocent, Jesus Christ. The great high priest, the great I am, the Lamb of God, taking place of the guilty, of the guilty, of the guilty, of the guilty. And you and I are guilty. We was pushed out of our place of death, of our penalty. We was kind of pushed out of a place of paying the price. And Jesus Christ was placed willingly in our place. We was on the road to death. And Jesus was innocent, was placed on the road to death in our place. I'm talking about the road to Calvary. Hey, there was 22 or 23 things that I kind of came up with about what happened in Jesus, what occurred to Jesus on the path of grace to Calvary. And I thought about Psalms 22. If you want to read that when you go back home today, it'll really bless your heart. Jesus took Barabbas' place, the innocent dying for the guilty. Then there was the cat of nine tails. They cried out, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate washes his hands and says, I'm free from the blood of this innocent man. See ye to it, do with him whatever you think is best. They took him, and then they chastised the Lord Jesus with the Roman death sentence of the cat of nine tails. And after this, they took him to the common hall. The common hall. He wasn't just a common man. But he died for common man. and He died for common women. He died for the poorest. He died for the richest. He died for the vilest. Somebody go to church with me. He died for you. He died for you. He walked the walk of grace to Calvary's hill. They stripped Him. They put a crown, put the reed, put the robe, and mocked Him and spit on Him, pluck out His beard and led Him up to the place of Golgotha. When He got there to Golgotha, the Bible said that He laid down His life. They didn't take Him by force. But He laid it down. Willingly. Laid down His life. For you. Would I lay down my life for you? Would you lay down your life for me? That's all questioned. But let me tell you, Jesus Christ knew you before you was even born. Knew your condition before you was even born. Knew your condition. Knew who you are, what you look like, what you was going through, all the things in your past, every rotten thing you've ever did. Jesus knew about it, and you was on His mind when He laid down on the cross and they nailed Him to the cross that day on Calvary. I believe that. Nailed Him to the cross. They sewed His garments and pierced His side. And pierced His side. Before they pierced His side, I believe Jesus died. He died. You know what? Law supposedly crucified Jesus. The only way for there to be chastisement or crucifixion or imprisonment is because someone broke the law. Am I right? So the law... Listen to me, the law crucified Jesus. But He was innocent. And He proved His innocency. There were seven sayings that Jesus Christ said while He was on the cross. I want you to write these down. Seven sayings while Jesus was on the cross. I'm not going to say I have them in perfect order. But I want you to write these down. I want you to think about these, and we're going to read these, and we'll get to our message, and we'll go. Luke chapter number 23 and verse number 34, Jesus says these words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I personally believe, Miss Cindy, that these are the first words that Jesus said on the cross. I personally believe that the first thing that was on His mind was forgive them. Father, He's talking, He's identifying Himself with His Heavenly Father. I believe He said, "Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do." They're crucifying me by the law. They don't even know the law. They don't understand the law. But they're using the law to crucify me, and they're using two false witnesses and saying I blasphemed the Levitical law. When I didn't. But God, that's all right. They just don't know who I am yet. They don't understand it all yet. But God, before You get mad and open the earth and send fire down and chastise them, God, I'm standing in their place Today, I'm nailed, suspended between heaven and earth in the place of all humanity. And God, I'm asking you to forgive them. And we were forgiven. And grace was found. Brother Andy, that's where grace connected with the law. When Jesus said, Father, forgive them. You listen to me. That's when grace met the law. It's when, hey, we deserve to die the death. But Jesus took our place and asked the Father to forgive you. You think about everything you've ever done in your life. Every sin you've ever committed, every lie you told, everything you stole from the age of 1 year old till however old you are now. You couldn't add them up. You done forget about half of them. Hey, but friend, I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven that paid for everything we've ever did. I believe the second saying is in reference to the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross was mocking him. Both thieves was mocking the Lord Jesus Christ. And one thief got onto the other one and said, hey, better watch what you're saying about to him. He's not an ordinary man. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I believe when the words of forgiveness rang through from Calvary's Hill, that it started at the thief on the cross, and it rang through Calvary's Hill, through the hills of Zion, through the hills of Horeb, through the hills all the way down to the end of the Battle of Armageddon. I don't care, to the ends of the earth, from east and the west. I believe the forgiveness was ringing out. And the thief got a hold of the first one. He said, Lord, he said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said these words, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The third thing I believe Jesus said, you'll find, that was in verse number 43, of Luke 23:43. The third thing I believe you'll find in John 19:26-27. Jesus says these words to his earthly mother. He says, woman, behold thy son. And he's talking to John. And he says to John, doesn't mention his name, but he says, behold thy mother. He makes a connection with his earthly mother. He says, woman, that's what he called her. That's what he's fixing to call her in 3 days. In John 19. He says, woman, behold thy son. He says, behold thy mother. In other words, he's taking care of his family. He's innocent. He didn't leave. He said, I'll not leave you comfortless. The fourth thing I believe is in John 19:28. Jesus spoke the great words, I thirst. I believe that right here, Jesus Christ was suffering our hell. It's an example of Him suffering our hell. Jesus Christ was thirsty on the cross. The man who made water into wine. The man who met the woman at the well and said, hey, you may be thirsty for physical water, but he told the woman at the well, Jesus did, said, I'll give you water. It'll be springing water, everlasting springing water that'll be springing up. He said, if you'll drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. But in his humanity, he thirsted. Number 5 in Matthew 27:46, Jesus says these words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I believe number 6, it'll be found in John chapter number 19 and verse number 30. After God forsook Jesus because of the sin that Jesus Christ took on the cross and because of the ugliness of sin God is pure. God in heaven is pure, righteous, and holy. Cannot look on sin. Does not look on sin. If he sees sin, he gets wrathful. If he sees sin, he gets angry at sin. That's what happened with the law. In the Old Testament, how the people would sin against the law, and God would judge them. He split the earth up. He called fire down from heaven in Sodom and Gomorrah. My friend, he sent pestilence on the land. He sent a serpent to bite the people because they sinned. God was a holy, righteous God, and he cannot see sin. And when he saw Jesus Christ, he had to turn his back, turn his face away from looking on him. And Jesus felt the absence of the Father. The absence of the holy God in heaven that always overshadowed his son, and he was lonely for the first time in his life, and he was sinful for the first time in his life. And he said, Father, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the next thing found in John chapter 19 and verse number 30, he says these words, it is finished. Brother Barry, the most three powerful words I believe ever written in the Bible. I mean, he finished it all. Woo! Hallelujah! He took it all! He finished it all on Calvary's Hill. The Bible says the rocks rent. The earth quaked. The sky turned black. The sun refused to shine when God said it's finished. We could talk about that. I believe the last thing that Jesus said on the cross will be found in Luke 23:46. He says these words, Father, in thy hands I commend my spirit. Father, in thy hands I commend my spirit. And this is where the writer of the book of John says Jesus yielded up the ghost. He gave up the ghost and he died. And I want to talk to you this morning. And I'm just about done. That means you've got 10 more minutes. I believe the most powerful words that Jesus said on the cross in reference to you and me is the first words that Jesus said. Father, forgive them. He said, Father, forgive them. You know why? Because Jesus learned forgiveness. He had all the reason, Miss Cindy, to call 10,000 of angels because of the wrong that he was done. He had all the reason in the world not to forgive those of you and me that have done him wrong from 2,000 years ago until this day, September the 11th. But when he said the words, Father, forgive them, the them, rang out for all humanity. Until he comes back to earth, can I say you're forgiven? Before you even ask, you're forgiven. You know the two most powerful lessons you'll ever learn in your life. I know I'm young and I'm advising older people here today, but can I advise you and say the most two powerful lessons you'll ever learn in your life is number one, is to forgive. Number two, is to ask forgiveness. Forgive and to ask forgiveness. And you look up in here this morning, all of us need forgiveness. There's things you doing right now that you need forgiveness. There's things you've done this week that you need forgiveness of. And can I tell you this morning, you're already forgiven. You may not feel like it, but Jesus feels like it. He's not going to send chastisement to you as far as death goes unless you continue and continue and continue and continue. And that'll come. Am I right? The Lord's not grievous because you haven't asked him to forgive him yet. The Lord's not bitter about what you've done to him this week. Because He's already forgiven. The Lord's not bitter of the things that we haven't done for Him this week. That we know we should do. He's not mad about it. He's not angry about it. He's already forgiven us. He's, before we ever sin, He already forgives you. That's how graceful God is. Instead of giving us what we deserved, He gives us grace. His unmerited favor. The richness of God's goodness. Because we don't deserve it, and He knows it, and He deserves it all, but He loves you. He forgives you. But you know what? You don't feel like you've been forgiven. Because you haven't asked. You haven't asked. Listen to me now. Church, I'm telling you, you haven't asked. You haven't asked forgiveness. And you need to ask forgiveness this morning. You need to ask forgiveness. Whatever you've done this week, I don't care if you did it yesterday. Ask forgiveness. Whatever you haven't done for Jesus, ask forgiveness. We're living in a sin-sick world. And I want you to know, God, you look at God's eyes, God's perfect in everything. You put yourself up to God, and friend, you'll be all day long asking forgiveness, asking forgiveness, asking forgiveness. And you know what you need to do and I need to do? We need to continue to ask forgiveness. He's forgiven us already, but you don't feel like you've been forgiven because you haven't asked. You have not experienced the grace of God. You have not experienced the mercy of God. You don't feel relieved. You don't feel forgiven. You don't feel the joy of the Lord. You don't feel happy. You don't feel at peace. You don't feel forgiven because you haven't asked. The road to Calvary was paved by the grace of God. I'm telling you, it's all by grace. For by grace are ye saved. Through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. No. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Somebody help me. Not of yourselves. Did I say that right? It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Saved by grace. Kept by grace. We're kept by the grace of God. I mean, Brother Andy, if we got what we deserve this week, we wouldn't be able to sit in this. We wouldn't be able to walk in this. I mean, we're kept by grace. It's only by the grace of God that He allowed us to get up this morning and come to God's house and be able to sit with our families and our loved ones and our church family to enjoy the Lord. I'm telling you, you're kept by grace. You say, well, I don't feel this grace thing. I don't know nothing about this grace. You know what the soldiers did? They parted the Lord's garments. The Bible says they cast lots. They sold Jesus. They sold His garments. That's one of the last things that happened to Jesus while He was on the cross, Brother Billy. They sold His garments. And they was doing some wicked, sinful things, I believe, at that cross. I believe there was sin. The devil and the darkness of sin was trying to corrupt the cross. Listen to me. They was trying, but God won the war. And you know what He won it by? He didn't win it by the law. He didn't win it by duty, but He won it by grace. You say, what's so important about the grace of God? Hey, friend, I'm telling you, hey, you can live by the letter of the law and try to make everybody think that you got everything figured out. You can dress right. You can talk right, right. Hey, you can spit right. Hey, friend, you can have the right friend. Hey, know the right people. Read the right book, friend. And you can have it all down. But if it ain't in your heart and you never experience the grace of God, friend, you don't feel like it this morning. Hey, you feel sinful on the inside. You don't feel the peace of God. You know what you'll do this morning? Listen to me. You know what you'll do tomorrow? I'm trying to be careful here. You know what you'll do tomorrow? You'll wake up tomorrow morning like this day never happened. Hey, God help the Christian who claims to be saved. Hey, that'll wake up on Monday and live Monday like Sunday never happened. Amen. I'm telling you, it's all by grace. Jesus walked, the greatest lesson, this is what this message is, and I'm done. Message is all about this morning is about forgiveness. It's about forgiveness, Brother Barry. You know what? There's some fathers that need to learn how to forgive their children in here. You think about this. There's some wives that need to forgive their husbands. There's some husbands that need to forgive their wives. There's some children that need to forgive the fathers. There's some fathers that need to forgive the children. I'm talking about forgiveness. You say, how do I get forgiven? How do you get forgiven is you got to ask for it. If you want to feel forgiven. Am I right? How do you give forgiveness? Freely. You give forgiveness like Jesus did. You forgive them before they ever... You have the attitude and the mind of forgiveness. It doesn't matter who does what to you. It doesn't matter who accuses you, who falsely arrests you, what they do to you, what they say about you, hey, what so-and-so's done, what sister so-and-so says, hey, whatever the world says, friend, you're a child of God, you've been saved by grace. Friend, if you got what you deserve, you'd be in hell. We need to learn to forgive, to forgive, to forgive. Forgive them. Jesus said, forgive them for they know not what they do. Forgive them anyway. They don't have to ask forgiveness. They shouldn't have to crawl up on you, hey, with on their knees, dragging with humility, friend. Hey, we need to learn to forgive them like Jesus did. God help the pride, pious Christian that expects everybody to walk up to drag and to humble themselves and crawl up to you like you're somebody. Friend, you ain't nobody. You're just a sinner. Hey, friend, like everybody else is, God is the one who deserves the glory. My friend, we need to learn to forgive anyhow. Learn to forgive them. Let's put our feet this morning. Learn to forgive. I want to say one thing as we prepare for a verse of invitation. The walk of grace is Calvary, is up to Calvary. Jesus walked it. Listen to me. Jesus walked it so you can walk it this morning. You think about it. The only way you can walk to the Calvary and to learn how to forgive is because Jesus did. And if you don't use it, listen to me, if you don't use it this morning, if you don't use the walk of grace, the Calvary, and learn to forgive, and put it in that empty tomb, and turn around, and walk away in victory, and leave it in there. If you don't learn, friend, hey, if you don't use it this morning, then think about this. Jesus' walk to Calvary was useless for you. It was like useless. Why did he die? Why did he pay the price? Why did he take the chastisement? Why did he die? So that we might live. And if you don't use that walk to Calvary this morning, then Jesus would have died. Jesus died in vain for you. The forgiveness that you enjoy is laying at your fingertips. Laying in front of you. The joy, the peace, the long-suffering that you can have. Hey, the grace, the joy, hey, the wonderful blessings and the joy of being a Christian and serving Jesus from your heart. And then the greatest thing is knowing that if you was to die today, that you'd go to heaven. Man. You know what it does? It lays in front of you and all you've got to do is take it up. Walk the walk of grace. Jesus walked it for you. It's very simple. Very easy. As you bow your head just for a moment, as she begins to play, the walk of grace, Jesus Christ said, for by grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and the mouth is made unto confession. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, if you're in here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you can't say that you're 100% sure that you would, if you was to die, you'd go to heaven, I would invite you to come down to this altar and accept the grace of God. Accept forgiveness of your sins and ask God to forgive you. Friend, if you're in here today and you don't know what it is to be at peace with God, maybe you're saved. Maybe you're hoarding bitterness. Maybe you've experienced unforgiveness by other people. Maybe you think other people have done you wrong and you need to forgive them. Won't you come down and just forgive them? Or why don't you go to your brother or sister in Christ and ask for forgiveness if you know you've done something wrong? Hey, forgiveness is the greatest thing in the world. Come on. Come on, right now. Why don't you come? Come now. Come now. Experience the grace of God. Maybe you're in here this morning and you want to make a commitment to God. Maybe you have accepted the grace of God. You're saved. Maybe you want to join a church. I'd like to invite you to come and join our church. Come get in here. Be used in this church for the glory of God. Make a church home. Hey, we're all sinners saved by grace. Why don't you come? Heavenly Father, bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing one verse.
149.